This is Phil Ferrand, and I have to do this carefully because I made a mistake. I didn't get a new remote control, and I am driving home. Okay, so I have been so busy that I just completely was like, oh, you were supposed to order a remote control, and I just didn't do it. So I had to actually start it and put it on the thing in front of me. But all is well. All is well. Big week. Big week this week at work. Got the things done I needed to get done this week. But this week, the programmer who has been working with AGWM for 35 years, I think. Ooh, 35 years. Or close to it. I think 40 years he's worked with headquarters, all told, I think. And 35 years working with AGWM. He retired. Well, he had his retirement party. Tomorrow is his last day. This is going to be very exciting. We were able to go over a lot of stuff with him, and so we got some knowledge transfer done there. But I just cannot imagine that there will not be questions. Because there's just too... I mean, he has built so much stuff in those 35 years. I mean, he just built an enormous amount of stuff. So yeah, there's no question. We are going to have plenty of questions for him in the coming months, especially when we get to end of year. But step at a time. Step at a time. I'm fond of saying what goes on there at headquarters is miraculous, because we just don't have nearly the level of staffing that we need to make that organization go. But somehow, you know, things get done and we move forward. And every month, the missionaries get disbursements and the work of God goes forward. So it's astonishing. So there you go. So it was a very exciting week. And unfortunately, I'm going to be gone tomorrow. Tomorrow is the individual's last day. I was about to call his name. I may have called his name in the past, but I try not to name people just in case they don't want their names named. So, you know, I'll be gone tomorrow. I did get a chance to shake his hand as retirement. I was going to swing over and you know, tell him thanks for all your hard work and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And I really should have done that. But I have expressed to him multiple times how important his work has been and how I've just been amazed at what he was able to accomplish. And so I think he knows how I feel. So hopefully, maybe I'll just call him tomorrow. I can do that. I will just call him. So anyways, big week. It'll be interesting to see where we go from here. Writing is going fine. All is well there. I'm on chapter 27 now, which is about where I need to be. Things are about to get very exciting. They've hopefully been exciting enough up to this point, and then things are just going to go bad. So that's coming up. And I may be over a little bit because I'm looking at the amount of story I have left to tell. And I've only got a couple of chapters, and you know, you got to do the peak thing. Got to decide where I'm ending. And like that, and like that, and like that. And then I've got to, you know, got to do the rest of it. So we'll see. I think it's going to be fine. I think I know what's happening in the epilogue. I think we're fine. And I may know what's happening in the next book as well. I need to shift focus a little bit to, yeah. So we'll see. Anyway, so that's going well. Costumes, It's going fine. I'd love to be a little farther ahead than I am, but it's all doable. Working on the steampunk jetpack. Took a bit longer to get all the doodads glued in place and created and all that kind of stuff than I was expecting. And it's taken longer to paint than I was expecting. So I was hoping that I was going to be, you know, underway done. But it's took me a little longer to get the doodads on. Then I started painting and I thought, whoa, this is going to be like 3 nights work. Because there's just a lot of little crevices and stuff. And the jetpack is made out of black foam and white thinner foam. And, you know, maybe that was part of my mistake, that I should have just done it all in black foam to just make it easier. But it all needs to be painted so there's a consistency to the surface for when I go back in and put the metal on, the metal wax on. So I set up a big bright light in my living room so I can shine it directly on it so I can see where I've painted and where I haven't painted. I probably have about a third of it painted at this point. But I don't have that many words to write tonight, so I'm hoping that I can get the rest of it painted tonight. It can dry. I can start putting the metal wax on tomorrow night, and I will have a full evening. So that's good. And then I'll have a full evening Saturday night as well. My beloved is actually down in Oklahoma with her mom to visit her mom's sister, our aunt. When you get to this age, her mom, my wife's mom, is 89. So when you get to this age, these trips become very important, and they may end up being the last trip. So Nett thought it was time to do that, and so she's down in Oklahoma with her mom, and her mom's sister actually has dementia, and so maybe they're going to try to give the sister's daughter, our cousin, maybe a little break, you know, from caring for her mom. So, you know, all these things are good. But what that means is I'm at home by myself, so that means I can just work like crazy. So after I get the jet pack done, then I've got to get everything mounted, and I've got to get straps finished up for the wings, got to get the wings all charged up, got to put the aluminum railings to where the backpack mounts on the back of the wings, but that's all pretty straightforward. I am going to put a couple of extra extendable rods. They're really walking canes. Extendable rods on the back, hidden away underneath the backpack. The plan is to do this, and then to be able to lower those, because when I'm out to eat, it would be great if I could lower feet so that those feet could rest on the back of the chair and take the weight off my shoulders. It's only about 20 pounds, so it's not bad, and I have been carrying around a backpack at work on and off that has 20 pounds in it, and the wings are actually a little less than 20 pounds, so when I put the wings on, you know, it's like, oh, this isn't as bad. But, of course, I will be wearing them. Probably go to breakfast at 7 in the morning next week, and be in the restaurant. Hopefully I've got legs I can extend to take the weight off for an hour while I eat. And then it's, you know, back to the car, to Walmart. I will be in Walmart for easily 2 hours. So I'll need to carry it around in Walmart for 2 hours. And then it'll be over to UPS, so that's on and off. Over to Maranatha, that's on and off. Back to Walmart for some friends who come in later. That's on and off, so, you know, I think we'll be fine. As far as the costume goes, I've got almost everything done for Being Angel Day. I have some minor tweaks, because there's a waist strap for the wings to really solidify everything and make sure it doesn't move. I've got shoulder straps, and then there's a waist strap to sink it in. And I'm wearing a vest, a brocade vest, white brocade vest, kind of steampunky vest. And I'm actually going to put some large buttonholes in the vest so that I can fish in the waist strap underneath the vest and around to the other side, and then, you know, tighten it up. That way there won't be any strap showing at the waist on the outside. So, you know, lots of little tweaky things. Hopefully those get done Sunday night, maybe Sunday night, Monday night. And then the last big project is I've got to steampunk up at least one gun, because I'm going to have a thigh holster to have a little steampunk pistol. I've got that Gatling gun that I bought, that Nerf Gatling gun. Oh, sorry. I've got that Nerf Gatling gun. I'm actually driving my mother-in-law's car. Our renter had some excitement this last week. Transmission blew up on his car, so that was sadness. So he's got my car right now, but it all worked out. He's got my car right now, and then I've got Nana's car right now. Ned has Nana down in Oklahoma. She'll be back Wednesday or Thursday of next week. They told our renter that they pulled his transmission today. They're getting it on the rebuild bench. They said usually takes about 3 days, so that's going to put us into Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, so everything works out. It just all works out. Even though, when you're in the middle of it, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's going to work out, but it works out. Everything works out. You just hold on with Jesus, and like I told the renter a couple of times through all this, just take a breath. We're going to walk this out. But, you know, God's good. And he's blessed us and, you know, allowed us to help this young man and his cute little son. And so it's been good. All is well. So I did have some notes put together about an imposter. But I am close to home. I'm pulling in the driveway. I just got the one piece of mail that I had. I'm pulling in the driveway. And I do have to say that these are fascinating times. They're really, really fascinating times. And one of the things that makes these times even more fascinating is the erosion of truth. I hadn't intended to talk about this, but it's important. One of the things that's really interesting about what's happening now is the fact that somewhere along the line, and it's not hard to figure out a cause, frankly, because as soon as you say, well, we don't really need God around anymore, somewhere along the line, you know, we decided that truth is whatever I decide it is at the moment. One of the reasons that I would never be able to bring myself to vote for Joe Biden, no matter who the Republicans were running. Let me just check to make sure this is still going. Hey, it is. Okay, great. One of the reasons I can never bring myself to vote for Joe Biden is because when he was in his prime, when he had all his faculties about him, this was in the 80s, I think, when he was running for president in the 80s, and someone questioned him on his educational history. And you can look up the clips. And he doesn't light into the reporter, but he kind of gives a comeback to the reporter. And he spends minute and a half, 2 minutes running down all his educational achievements. About what universities he went to and where he graduated in his class and blah, 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 blah. Just, you know, tooting his own horn. And when you watch him do it, he is absolutely certain. I mean, he looks convincing. He sounds truthful. He runs through all this stuff. And most of it is not true. It is demonstrably not true. It's not that there's some debate about whether it's true or not. At the time, newspapers fact-checked him on it. Universities fact-checked him and said, yeah, no, this he was not up at the top of his class. No, he didn't attend here. No, he didn't do this. No, he didn't. I mean, it was just lying. And it was so obviously lying. And back in the 80s, lying meant something different than it does now. He actually had to drop out of the race. And there's a couple of things about that. One, did he not think anyone would check? I mean, what type of mindset do you have to believe you can just spout off a bunch of stuff and people are going to let you get away with it? So, one, how did he not think that someone was going to check this? And two, how is he such an effective liar? I mean, because when you hear him all say it, it sounds like he's telling the truth. I mean, such premeditation in deceit is just beyond the pale for me. Okay, I can't. People will say, well, Trump did the same thing and Trump does the same thing. Well, yeah. But Trump almost gets to the point where he bloviates so much, it's almost like an act, you know. And that everybody knows he bloviates. And he's almost a caricature of himself. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Oh, yeah. It's just, yeah. Anyways, I would prefer to have somebody to vote for who wasn't a liar. I would prefer that. So that's interesting. That's from the 80s. And Biden actually had to, you know, step back from his presidential campaign in the 80s because of lying. And then you go and you check him like the next two times. And he has to resign. Because he plagiarized a bunch of stuff. He, like, plagiarized a speech. And he plagiarized, and even at that point, you know, we were still at a point where if you lie, if you plagiarize, someone's going to tag you on it. And the inherent immorality of doing that's going to mean you're not going to be able to run because people aren't going to vote for you. Flash forward to Trump being in office. Trump getting elected, which lit a fire under people. I mean, that was astonishing to see that happen. And now we find out that there were things, well, we found out months ago, there were things like the Steele dossier that was all fabricated, paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign, that people at the FBI suspected and or knew it was fabricated, and they pushed it anyways, and used it to get warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. And then that was the basis for year after year after year of investigations. And when that finally fell apart, then there was the Ukraine phone call. And we're getting testimony from people who say, well, I didn't hear the other side of the conversation, but you know, I was standing outside the door and I heard, you know, the Trump side of it, and there's all these accusations. And the latest one that I was just like shaking my head about was the January 6th commission where they had this brave person who testified, she's so brave. And her thing was, well, I heard someone say that they, that's hearsay. And then this, you know, Secret Service comes out and says, yeah, that's not what happened. And we already told the January 6th people, that is not what happened. But they didn't call us to testify. It's like, oh, come on, come on. Come on. And so now, you know, obviously Trump's home has been raided, which is, as everyone says, unprecedented. And, you know, there's like sporadic information about what they were actually looking for. And now it gets leaked out that, well, they had an informant on the inside, as if that's supposed to make everything fine. After all we've been through with people, well, I was standing outside the door and I heard this. Well, I wasn't in the car, but I heard that somebody said that. Oh, so now we're just supposed to justify everything that happens because there was a confidential informant on the inside. Oh, man. And you got people in the liberal media that are just like, well, we know he's guilty. He's guilty. We know he's guilty. Okay, no, you can't just. You can't just pluck stuff out of and make your own truth and say, well, we know he's guilty, so why can't we find something? I mean, it's exactly the same that Trump was doing when he was calling up Georgia and saying, you got to find those 14,000 votes. You know, well, yeah, you can't do that. But all of it, the truth is just getting slaughtered here. And you get people now, it's just such a shame because I don't care what the president says or what his press secretary says, you know, or frankly, what Trump says. I don't care what Merrick Garland says. They're standing up there and all I hear is, yeah, they're probably lying. You know, because there's just been so many lies. There's been so many things that have been proven to be lies. That you just say, well, okay. I mean, it's literally like being in the Philippines again. Because they would just make stuff up against their political opponents. This is just, it's so reminiscent of home. You just make an accusation, they dig around and manufacture some evidence, and then you convict the person on that evidence, and then you have them executed. You know, banana republics. Because truth is important. Rule of law, true rule of law is important. Innocent until proven guilty. You have to present the facts. I mean, to get the warrant, what, they went to some magistrate? They didn't. Who was a diehard liberal. It's like, come on. Come on. It's all extremely fascinating. Sadly, it's not necessarily unpredictable. Because as soon as you step away from a moral code, well, everything starts coming apart. This is Phil Ferrant, and I have made it home. And I'm going to need to pick this up and push the off button. Where is the off button? I can't